Our first lesson for today is from the third chapter of John. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is a judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Our second lesson for today is from the second chapter of Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the possessions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for our good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lots of familiar words of Scripture this morning, but we can't hear them too many times. I have some questions for you to think about this morning, to start. You can't hear? Okay. We'll have to work on it. I'll wait a minute. Thank you. It sounds so loud to me. We'll try it. Whoa. That's better? Okay. I won't keep my voice down. The questions for you this morning. Do you know someone who is always being critical, putting other people down? I bet you know some people like that. Or someone who's always overly self-critical, always putting themselves down. Or someone who is always so sweet that you just know that they can't really mean it. Or someone who is always good, doing for everybody else all the time, but not letting anyone do anything for them? Or someone who just always so busy with work that they can't spend time anywhere else? Or someone who's always gathering more and letting you know about how much they have? I don't mean to start on a downer, but I think we all know others and sometimes some of these things of ourselves, right? And I think not only is this true of some people, I think it is possibly true of most people, one way or another. We all do these things, but why do we do them? And what do they have in common? Because they're not the same, right? How do they serve us? Think about it for a minute. I would suggest that just being human, we are driven. We are afraid of being damned one way or another, driven to find ways to know that we are worth something, right? How many of us go through life timid and shy or bitter and aggressive, wondering if others like us or if we're really even likable at all? How many of us worry that we haven't received the right promotion or the right education, that we don't make enough money or we don't think of ourselves as attractive, or are we worthless, a failure? All those insecurities we have. How many of us have stopped believing that we deserve better? Better health, happiness, comfort, love, that we deserve these things? How many of us are afraid that we'll be found out some way to be weak or stupid or illiterate or coarse or powerless? Or our fears are all different, right? How many of us look back with despair over a life that wasn't important enough or successful enough? Are embarrassed by our children and then embarrassed by our embarrassment? And we try to be more. And then we're vulnerable to every solution that life and commerce offers. The self-help books are just stacked on the shelves. We try to be more by having more, by buying more, by achieving more, by winning more. Right? And some of us try to justify ourselves by being critical of others, thinking that if we make them look little, then that makes us look big. And then others of us try to justify ourselves by being always critical of ourselves, always putting ourselves down, very humble and self-effacing, that not being able to take a compliment ever, right? Oh, no, no, no. This sort of selflessness, too, can be just as arrogant and manipulative as the opposite and leave us just as lonely and guilty. And some of us try to justify ourselves by being good. Being the best. We try to convince ourselves of our own worth so God and everybody else will love us. Remember the Pharisees? They were often on the receiving end of Jesus' criticisms. And they were guilty of this being better because they were morally righteous, right? They did everything to the letter of the law so nobody could call them wrong. I may not be rich or powerful or intellectual or attractive, but I can make myself happy, acceptable, and lovable by achieving moral superiority. That's another way. And I think especially for us Midwesterners, many of us learned to be nice to to be loved. In our society, I think many young women feel in the emptiness of their lives that being desired will give them value. But it doesn't work. And many young men think that conquering women will give their lives meaning somehow. But life is more than that. Nothing you can do will make you worthy. No thing. What makes you worthy, makes any of us worthy, is the Lord who made us and redeems us and guides us. Whenever we look to ourselves and try to measure and guarantee our own worth and our own achievements, or try to compensate for emptiness, we destroy ourselves and alienate ourselves from our sisters and brothers. And we miss the one way in which our existence can be justified. And that is by the love of God. And that's what both of the scriptures this morning really talk about. Now, I suspect that you all know the name Martin Luther. And I don't mean Martin Luther King. Martin Luther, he was a monk, right? So he was Catholic, right? But didn't he start the Reformation? Those 99 theses nailed on the church door, or was it 88 or 77? And what did those say anyway? Who was Martin Luther? Well, he was a good 16th century Catholic boy become monk. He was devout, he was faithful. But even as a monk who gave himself full time to God's work, he always, always felt guilty and unworthy and tormented by doubts as to how he stood with God. Struggling all his life to earn God's love. But he came to realize that the harder he tried, the more he knew that he would never be good enough to merit salvation. And he struggled. And his struggles really began the Reformation. Because one day he read again, who knows for how many time, these words that we listened to this morning from St. Paul. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. And there, in that moment, like the V8 commercial, he got it. He understood. He understood in his heart for the first time that he could not save himself. By being good, by working extra hard for God, or by any other thing. Lightning bolt. And all this time later, I think we need to hear this over and over and over. What we cannot do for ourselves, God has already done for us in Christ. We are made right by God, given value in God's eyes, not by any effort of our own in climbing up to God, but by God's free grace brought down to us in Jesus Christ. And that's it. Justification by grace through faith. La, 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 la. But that's what it is. That's what it means. And I suspect some of you are thinking, feeling a little skeptical, maybe a little uncomfortable by this. Because ironically, of all the teachings of the gospel, the hardest to sell to Christians is this: salvation by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. Not because of works, lest anyone should boast. Or as a wonderful translator named J.B. Phillips put it, grace was nothing you could or did achieve. No one can pride himself upon earning the love of God. We are what we are, we owe to the hand of God upon us. And it's surprising how much trouble we have buying that. But this is the essence of the gospel right here. It is what you see if you hold it up to the light. It's what's left when you boil all the rest down. If you don't know this, it doesn't matter what else you know. You hear it or you're lost. You hear it or you're driven through your whole life trying to make yourself good enough. Right? Oh, you have trouble. You hear it, or that peace that passes understanding is no promise at all, but a curse. This text is God's invitation to look into the mirror and see yourself through the eyes of the lover of your soul. And this idea is the guiding truth of the Reformation that Martin Luther began as he had that moment in his search for peace. How many of us really think that of God in terms that cause us to live in daily terror, that we're eternally damned? Not exactly. Not most of us, and not in so many words. We don't speak in that language anymore. But I think maybe we just don't name it the same. The devils that drive us, I don't think, are much different than those that drove Luther and that have driven humankind since the beginning. The bad news for humankind is that there is nothing you can do to earn God's love. And that's scary for us. The good news is there is nothing you can do to earn God's love. So you can quit trying and being driven by that in ways that are negative. It doesn't depend on you. Only God can do it, and God does it. We are justified, accepted, welcomed, loved, saved by grace. At the beginning, from the beginning. We are precious, valuable souls. There are no qualifications or prerequisites. God doesn't say, I will love you if you're a good son, if you prove yourself in the company, if you're a perfect mother, if you first love me. None of those things. God doesn't even say, I will love you if you first have faith in me. Not even that. God just says, I love you. Just as you are, you. Flawed, warts and all. Not your righteousness. Your humility, your faith, or your accomplishments. Just you. We find that hard. God's love isn't a reward for what we do or confess that we did not do, but a gift that's given absolutely freely with no strings attached. It isn't what we do for God, but what God has done for us already. Not what we give, but what we receive that makes us somebody and not nobody. We can rename it any way we want to, but the truth is the same, however you say it. Okay, You may be saying, all right, but what about the saved by grace through faith? Don't I have to have faith to be saved by grace? Because we still can't believe it. I would suggest thinking about, read where Paul uses the word faith, think trust. Because Protestants are accused, and rightly often, of making faith just another kind of works righteousness. You know, like the Catholics that the Reformation pushed back again. We aren't saved by our works. But then we make faith the works, because we have to do something, right? Don't fall into that trap. Don't substitute another even higher obstacle, an even more difficult requirement for your salvation and God's love. You know, instead of anxiously examining my life to discover whether it's good enough, now I have to anxiously examine my faith to see whether it's strong enough to earn God's love. Neither my good works nor my good faith justifies me. Hear it again. Neither my good works nor my faith justify me. Oh, boy. So how do I earn God's love? It's so hard to let go. You can't do anything. And that's the good news. Robert McAvee Brown says, "The gospel doesn't say, trust God and God will love you. The gospel says, God already loves you, so trust God. God acts first. Faith isn't a work that saves us. It is an acknowledgement that we've been saved. It is a response to what we know to be true through Christ. And that's the beautiful second part, the through faith part, through trust. You cannot live in the joy of salvation if you always wonder if God really loves you. That's all. Just trust it to be true. It's like marriage or a really deep, good friendship. You can't enjoy the beauty of it if you spend all your time wondering if your partner really loves you. You can't know the joy of your wife's love if you can never believe she can love you. You can't enjoy the company of your friend if you spend all your time believing that your company is unworthy. If you're to enjoy the relationship, you have to trust that the other one loves you and wants to be with you. So it is with God. So you mean that I really do have to just trust that God loves me? That's it? That I'm lovable just the way I am? Now, on our best days, sometimes we feel that way, right? But how often does it feel just the opposite? Slightly flabby, slightly forgetful, slightly disorganized, slightly short-tempered. I'm worth something just like that. Me, who doesn't know how to pray, who doesn't try as hard as I should, good enough to do God's work and will? Exactly. Faith, trust, isn't the cause of God's loving us, but it is the result, the only means by which we accept the love and live in it. Faith doesn't make us right with God, but faith in God's promise in Christ changes our lives, changes our sense of ourselves, and that changes how we act with and toward others, and that allows us to be the sharers of the light of God's grace. You know people who are like that, don't you? Who just exude that peace of Christ, something you say, I want that, and I would probably see some of you as those people. That's grace. When we learn that God loves us just as we are, then we're free from the fear that makes us worry and try to buy off or manipulate God and other people. We're changed from being closed into being open to receive the love that's always there for us, always for free. And then we have the opportunity to shed that light and spread that light in Christ's name. Just believe it. Let's pray. Amazing God, you bring us first and always your grace through Christ. Help us to grab it, to believe it, to share it, to live it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.